Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. Then again, every episode is special, but what the hell? I'll say this is a different podcast because we're not doing our usual show today. We are doing a spoilerific review for X-Men Apocalypse, which we saw last night. Me and my co-host, Mike, will be joining us. The Man Beast is not that special enough to see this movie. So, since George got kicked out last time, George was invited this time. Of course, he was unable to see Civil War. So, of course, the Spaniard, Mr. Plunkasaurus Rex. George, how you doing, big guy?
Hey, what's going on there, man? You know, we didn't even take a picture to tell him, you know, like, hey, what's up? We're here. You know, like, we're here this time. You ain't. You know, we didn't take a picture.
Well, Mike wasn't, you know. Well, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get kicked out.
Different circumstances. Yeah, Mike was there. He got kicked out. Then, yes.
True.
But I got to say, it was kind of an interesting premiere because, well, you were obviously, but it was jam-packed.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, the lines were just incredible. We'll probably post a picture on Facebook. You guys got to see that, just how the inordinate amount of people that were there for whatever reason. It wasn't a very well-run promotion event. There was a fight that broke out and all that, which I put on the my YouTube review, of course, and the Real Mentor on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe, of course. I got my spoiler-free review on there if you guys want to check it out. But like I said, spoiler warning, we're letting it all out here. So if you haven't seen the movie, check it out. Come back and listen to the show. If you've seen it, of course, listen to us. And without any comments, are welcome. Whether you guys agree or disagree with our assessment of the movie and all that. So, of course, I know I'm a big X-Men fan. George, you're kind of a...
I've seen the movies.
You like them, but
I like them, but I'm not, like, totally, you know, aware of what's going on, which I think is an interesting perspective, though, because I think it brings in the difference between what goes on in the comics and what goes on in the movies. So, you know, you kind of really have that mentality, you know, that difference between what's writing and what's...
That's good because it's always like getting a casual fan's perspective as opposed to a diehard,
right?
Quote unquote aficionado or geek, as some other people may refer to as, you know. And now, as far as saying, diehard into the X-Men lore and the comic books and all that, but I am familiar with it, following the cartoons since back in the 90s, of course, and all the movies that have come out since, good or bad.
Of course.
But again, it's interesting because I was excited to see this initially, but then my expectations were lower because I think Rotten Tomatoes was at 40, and now it's 48%. It was 55.
Oh, it's 48. Yeah, it was higher. It was higher.
Yeah, it dropped. So it's interesting to see because most of the reviews were kind of, it was a mixed bag. You know, it was higher than Batman v Superman. Sorry, Mike. But I was interesting. Okay, is this movie just not that good? What's going on? So it's good to kind of see it early and get more perspective on it because I'm going to vehemently disagree with the overall assessment of the movie. But I'll start with you, George, first. It's just give me your quick thoughts about what you thought about the movie. Nothing specific, just, you know, overall what you
thought. Yeah, see, like I kind of had the same view going in. You know, I kind of thought that when I first saw the trailer, I was very excited. You know, like the hype was real. Then I started seeing some of the stuff like, they're mixed reviews, whatever. So the expectations started lowering. Like the bar was kind of like, oh, I hope they don't do it. You know, they don't mess it up. You know, this is going to be another, you know, Batman Superman with the rule that we had. You know, like the precedent already being made. So I was like, man, and then it lowered. And then when I saw the score on the Rotten Tomatoes, I was like, I don't know. Let's see. And then so when I was actually entertained and I was like wondering where all this stuff had come from. Like, you know, I go, where are all these things that all this negative publicity that I received, where it came from? I didn't really see. So, yeah. So I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a very well-made movie. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't read specifically the reviews, just some things here and there. And I saw and some things I did agree with and what I heard prior to seeing on the movie. And I will touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But overall, I agree with you. I was entertained. I liked it. It didn't wow me. And this wasn't Civil War. This wasn't Deadpool. But by the same token, this wasn't Batman v Superman, which I liked. And, you know, I know Mike's going to kill me when I get, you know, we see him.
Yeah,
again.
When he listens to this, he's going to kill us both. Probably going to wrangle our necks.
Well, Mike is crazy. You know? He was in love with Batman v Superman. I get it. He's to each their own, but, you know, he's wrong. We all know that. But this, again, it was a good, solid effort. It was, like I said, it wasn't the top of the list in accordance to, you know, the X-Men movies. But again, this isn't Last Stand. It's not X-Men Origins or the last Wolverine movie. I thought it was even better than the original X-Men. It's just not up there with First Class, Days of Future Past, and X-United and all that.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit, you know, the original two movies, you know, X-Men 1 and 2, you know, the original two were pretty precedent, you know, like they established the way. But the third movie was kind of like the bad one out of all this.
Yeah, The Last Stand was
horrendous. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, out of X-Men First Class, you know, and then the Days of Future Past, you know, like it's kind of in the middle. Like, I don't know if, you know, like if
I like those first two better than this one. This is not a knock on this movie. It's a good movie. If you're an X-Men fan, you're going to like it. I don't see why you wouldn't like it. To the superhero fan, or you know, into the Marvel and all that stuff, it's going to be fine. You're going to enjoy it, no question about it. It's just not a great movie. They didn't knock it out of the park like I wanted to. And it happens a lot with these, the trilogies, quote unquote, and the third movie, always the ones that seem to falter the most. Not all the time, but it generally happens. But it didn't quite falter to that point. It was well done. And Bryan Singer, of course, you know, he knows what he's doing when it comes to X-Men movies and all that. He's done, you know, X2 and Days of Future Past with a couple of the better ones. But it was fine. So, getting to specifics, just touch on the things, and George, start with you. Name a couple of things that stood out to you on the positive side that you really liked about this movie.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed the actual Wolverine when Wolverine came out.
You know, that was awesome.
That scene that he had, I was glad that he finally used the claws after all the time to actually make somebody bleed. I was like, okay.
Well, I think, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Or kill people, you know, like.
He's killed people, but I don't think we saw a little bit, a little bit of blood, and it kind of pointing towards what we're going to see in the R-rated version of this, the third Wolverine, which is I'm excited about. But you're right, that was a really cool scene. There's no secret that he was going to be in the movie. He wasn't going to be in the movie. But it was a cool scene.
Yeah, and then, so that was a cool scene. Yeah, and then I think you talked about it yesterday in your YouTube review, that intro scene at the beginning. You know, the whole setup with Apocalypse and stuff like that. I did enjoy that part. And then the Quicksilver scenes.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the effects on those scenes were very well done.
Yeah.
And I was a little skeptic because we saw it on 3D. So that maybe we should mention that part. You know, that we saw it in 3D.
Yeah, I hate 3D.
And you hate it.
I hate it. It looks terrible.
We were not sitting that far. We were kind of close too. So, I mean,
it makes it worse. Yeah, you're right.
It makes it worse.
But that scene, despite that, looked great. It was very similar style to the Quicksilver's first scene. You know, obviously they had a different kind of song. They had a Eurythmics.
Right.
Here comes the rain, right? Oh, am I wrong on that? Or is it Sweet Dreams?
Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams. Okay.
Sweet Dreams.
So that different song on it. Again, he goes into the Xavier school to find Xavier, of course, and is right at the point where Apocalypse had kidnapped Xavier, and all hell broke loose. The whole building exploded, and right before everything exploded, he goes in there with the super speed and saves all the kids.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Very cool, very well done. I loved it. It's just so creative what he does, and he's such an interesting character. And he's so different from everybody else in that movie. He's a breath of fresh air. I'm afraid though, you know, it's gonna be kind of a one trick pony moving forward. I'm not sure what they're gonna do with him down the road. But we're always gonna get, oh, where's that one quote unquote scene of Quicksilver?
Yeah, it's already happened twice.
You gotta top yourself going forward. But you know, whatever. It was a very cool scene, and he's got a much bigger role.
He did. Yeah. He actually had a bigger role, which I think was a good thing for the movie.
No, yeah, it was, because I think he has another fight scene where he fights Apocalypse, you know, and again, using his slow motion and super speed and all that, which is very cool. He's a funny character. The only thing I didn't quite get, and I didn't mention yesterday in my review because I don't want to get too detailed, obviously for spoilers purposes, but obviously they touch on the fact that, yes, Magneto is his father. He mentions it to, you know, Mystique and all that. And it was in the trailer, so not a huge spoiler, but I guess he wanted to go confront Magneto and tell him, hey, I'm your kid.
And he backed out.
Yeah, he backed out. And I don't
know if I ever liked that.
Yeah, I didn't get they touched on the whole thing about X-Men and the family, blah, 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 which is cool. And I liked that. But then I didn't quite get why he didn't tell him. During a battle scene, I get it.
And then even when Xavier kind of told, you know, I knew there was good in you, I was right. You know, like he tried to, and then when they even said that you betrayed, you know, when he told Apocalypse, he goes, I didn't betray you, I betrayed them.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the whole family concept.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't know why they didn't mention that part.
I was kind of surprised,
That, you know, hey, you are, and then the whole thing about that they had killed his daughter, And then with the arrow, you know, when they...
Yeah,
when,
we'll get
when,
to that in a second. Yeah.
You know, like when... The, maybe that's why, now that we're looking into it a little bit more, maybe that, that's, those are some of the plot holes that you're kind of like, you know, why wouldn't you tell them you're my father?
Yeah, I didn't quite get that.
With all this family, yeah. With all this family.
Exactly. And at the end, they allude to him. I forget who asked him at the end. One of the X-Men asked him, or do you ever plan to tell him or whatever? And he's like,
I think it was Jean Grey.
It's Jean Grey. And he's like, eventually he will. So I guess that's something I'm going to touch on later. But whatever. It's a small thing. It's not a big deal. It's just kind of confusing.
Or
why
it might have been even a Mystique.
I forget who it was.
Yeah, well, it was one of the
irrelevant,
characters.
But whatever.
Irrelevant.
He's talking to somebody. But it was kind of weird and all that. Why? But you're right. For me, he was the highlight of the movie. Just like it was in Days of Future Past, that didn't change. It's just because from the entertainment purposes, he's great. He's fantastic. But you're right. You mentioned it. I talked about the beginning, the 5-minute intro scene in ancient Egypt, and it gave us a good introduction to Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen at that time anyway. And he's, transferring his consciousness to a different body, which I guess similar to Wolverine's powers, his regenerative powers, and he wanted to take that body. And that's how I guess he... stays alive all the time.
Yeah, I think
gains the powers.
Yeah,
you know?
they try to explain it that, you know, he stays alive longer by transferring his powers from person to person, you know, and then absorbing whatever powers he had or they had into their body.
Which is cool. I like that. That was a cool. I'm not too familiar with him in the comic books. I don't think that's something that he does. So a new wrinkle that they added, which is kind of cool. I like that because they took advantage of that when he kidnapped Xavier, and he was going to use Xavier's power, mind control, to add it to his arsenal of quote unquote powers and all.
Right,
which is kind of
even
cool.
Mystique, you know, like puts a Psylocke's body, you know, like that she tries to. Cut him up, you know, decapitate him, whatever. He like laughs and he goes,
he regenerates because he's getting that power, which is cool.
That was the last power that he absorbed when he went to sleep.
Exactly, back in the Egyptian,
the 16, you know, the early whatever. You know, before Christ stuff.
Exactly. Another thing I liked, of course, and I talked about this in all the movies, like one consistent thing has been Magneto and Xavier, and this and they're great. I mean, they always make me forget about Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, which is a hard thing to do because they were awesome.
Yeah.
But man, those guys are great and those characters. I love Fassbender. Fassbender was actually, he was emotional. You know, I guess linchpin in this movie because, like we talked about when his whole family, he has his kids, got his wife. It's about 10 years later from Days of Future Past, and it's a good setup to where he's kind of hiding out in plain sight. I guess he changed his name because, you know, he's wanted for the whole White House thing and all that. And really powerful stuff. You know, I wasn't quite expecting that. The whole the traitors didn't allude to him having a family, nothing like that.
No, all like, you know.
Exactly. And then having a daughter and a mother die like that was tragic. And it came off really well and gave a good motivation as to why he ends up joining Apocalypse anyway, because he's got nothing to lose. He kind of embraces who he is. He's quote unquote a killer because as soon as his wife and kid die, he wipes out all the guys that are responsible for it and goes and he goes to the steel mill where he's working and wants to kill the guys who snitched him out to the police to begin with.
Yeah, he ends up killing everybody.
He's like, he's taking total revenge, which is cool. That's what Magneto is. He's a badass. And much like in First Class, he's motivated by that because of his parents' death and all that. So it drives him. So they kind of continue that theme, which I appreciated. Because that's who he is. That's Magneto, you know. And I did a really good job of that. The new characters were good.
Were you cheated that Apocalypse killed them? Because Apocalypse killed all the people in the steel mill Magneto.
Because I think it showed Magneto, this guy's on the same page and it shows the power. Like, don't worry, I got it. It's okay. He doesn't care. He's not Xavier telling him, don't do it. He's telling him, hey, I agree with you. Let's wipe him out.
And I like the how he kills them.
Oh yeah, he
absorbs him into the ground, and then the guy, you're gonna feel it, and he puts him against the wall, and he presses him against the wall.
Yeah, he's got some really cool the whole scene's like that when he's it's hard to describe, but I guess he changes the molecular structure of whatever it is,
absorbs the guy into the wall, morphs him into the wall.
Exactly, it's very cool. It's interesting and all that.
It's very well made.
Yeah, and that's but it's something I had a couple of issues with that actually, and we'll get to
did
that.
You?
Yeah, we'll get to that as far as what we didn't like after. But the new characters are cool. Jean Grey, you know, Sansa Stark, you know, that's her name anyway in my eyes. She was really good as Jean Grey.
And Scott Summers,
Cyclops, he was really cool. They had, of course, Nightcrawler, who talked him out really well.
Yeah, he was very well.
Yeah, I loved them and all. They were really great. It wasn't to a level that we saw in X2, but again, He's just starting out and all that.
And coming in next two was actually,
But he was good. And he was good and has a really cool, interesting fight scene with Angel at the very beginning.
Speaking of Angel, there were some other characters that, we'll talk about that.
Those are gripes I do want to touch on, which prevented the movie from being great. It's just, why it's just good. But there's a good introduction. And at the end, when they leave everything off, what's my phone went off, my bad.
Well, they're going on air again. It's like a trend.
I thought I had it on silent.
Yeah, the Quicksilver scene, and then the phone call during our exclusive review.
Quicksilver came in, turned my phone on. But I like those new characters, and the way the movie leaves off, the new, I guess, batch of X-Men with Storm, Mystique, of course, leading the way, and then Scott Summers and all that, the new crew that they have.
Even Havoc.
Havoc was there, but he obviously dies and all that, which is kind of surprising, but whatever. But it's cool that they set up well for the next X-Men. I think, they already announced part four, whatever, the next X-Men in the 90s, whatever, it's going to feature, the cast that we kind of grew up with Storm.
Oh, okay.
Jean Grey and Cyclops, Nightcrawler, some of the typical X-Men, which we all know, grown and known to love and all that. But that was really well done. Excuse me, really well done. And again, I liked some of the action pieces were great until we got to the end, which I'll touch on as far as why I didn't quite love the movie. And I think, I forgot her name, who she's in Neighbors 2.
Oh, I know you're talking about the CIA agent.
Yeah, she was in First Class and all that. She was actually pretty cool. It was a good addition to it because I guess she played the love interest and all that.
She's also in Days of Future Past, isn't she?
Yeah, no, she was just in First Class.
Oh, okay.
And so she was a butt of some jokes from the beginning with I guess the infatuation that Xavier had with her and all that, and they kind of used some humor in that sense and all that. So it was actually pretty cool. I liked it a lot. Now, as far as what you didn't like, because there are some things, it's not perfect.
Yeah,
I'll start with a thing which I was on the fence about. I'm not saying I disliked it, but Acopolis was fine. He looked, I know people complaining, he looked stupid, he looked like the guy from Power Rangers.
Yeah, it was Power Rangers.
He was fine, and he was. I don't think he was a great villain. Also, I like Oscar Isaac. He did okay. His motivations were good, and he seemed very powerful. The problem is, though, this guy seems that he can do anything, right? All his powers.
It's a Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne. There we go. But he can do anything he wants and change the molecular structure and whatever. Why does he need the Four Horsemen to begin with? Why can't he just do that to the X-Men at any point that he wants? You know what I'm saying?
I think that they explain it. No, I think that they try to explain it later. You know, like when Xavier takes him inside his world with Cerebro, like, inside the house that he goes, you're going to need a bigger house, which I was like, okay, stupid Jaws.
Yeah, no Jaws reference.
Which they had a couple of those. You know, like when they went to go in the 80s, that the Return of the Jedi thing. They put the decade very well.
They did with Days of Future Past in the 70s.
Well, he had the Miss Pac-Man, the arcade, the Atari shirt.
I think when they went to them, some of the kids, they go to the movies, they go watch Return of the Jedi.
Right, Easter eggs. Yeah, there were a lot of Easter eggs like that that let you know it's the 80s.
Yes, exactly.
To be specific.
Which is cool, which I liked. But yeah, I just don't. It's like it was kind of weird because he seems so powerful. What can he? I'm just nitpicking. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just kind of like okay.
And I'm trying to expand piggyback a little bit off that. When he says, "I'm not alone. Like I have these people around," and then that's why I think he, that he fed off the power of the commutative instead of the single.
I
think they try to explain it like that. But yeah, you're right. There's a couple of, like I said, maybe it was that. Like that, omnipotent, why wasn't he able to absorb everybody and just wipe everybody out?
Exactly.
Why did he even need Angel, which at the end of the day is worthless? She has five lines in the movie.
Yeah, and I think Angel.
And we counted.
You're right, five lines. I heard it was two, but close enough. I think Angel has like three or four, maybe. A couple in the beginning and then one when he first meets up with Magneto, I guess.
And they bring the blob in, whatever.
Yeah, a quick little nod, which is fine. We're talking about gripes. Those two characters were just a waste of time. Psylocke, like I said, quick fight lines. I don't know what the hell she's about. Why she joined him to begin with? Angel, whatever. He's alone. Yeah, he's alone. He's alone. I don't know. He gives him new wings, and now he's with him. It was kind of weird. And they showed him in the beginning, the quick intros, and then you don't see him again until the end of the movie.
And even in the beginning, when they had like death and famine, and the other people were there, like they never go into it. They just they're there. Then they had the horsemen, and
it was kind of weird because we know Magneto obviously, and they did a good job with Storm and giving us something with her. But the other two, it should have been two horsemen because they were just there for show. And Angel looked cool. And Psylocke looked cool, but they were really kind of pointless. And this is a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. You figured they would have found some time to kind of... Because it would have made the final battle, which I'll get to in a little bit. Because that's my true gripe is with that. But it would have made it even... Raise the stakes is now, okay, these guys are who they are and what they represent and all that. We didn't get any of that from those guys. Just Magneto and Storm. And Storm barely, just barely.
And barely. And that's why... And I think that's where I think you're going to hit that. It felt anticlimactic. Like it might as well. And then, you know, like Xavier was kind of like, okay, what is my role in this? And then, you know, it's like, oh, you're the most important part. I need to absorb you. I was like, okay.
Which I kind of got because he can, you know, Xavier's mind abilities to control everybody when he has ultimate power, I guess. But it's just, this is my thing with the end of the movie. Because like the first 1.5 hours were great. Really entertaining. I think we talked and you mentioned to me, where does this go bad? And it doesn't go bad. But it just doesn't end off on a note where, oh man, it pushed it over the edge of being a decent movie to a great movie. The whole last battle, the confrontation.
There's
a lot of destruction going on. Magneto's got this ultimate power. He can literally raise the earth and anything within it, this metal, and he's crushing everything. Buildings are being ripped apart. But my issue with that is like, which we see like the difference between this and what kind of Man of Steel did, even Batman v Superman touched on. Was that destruction and devastation and the people there, people dying, all that. They didn't show anybody.
Yeah, there's no repercussion.
It's like...
And this is after, you know, all the Civil War stuff. Obviously, if you were to think that they were in the same world, they're not.
No, they're not. Well, they're not obviously in the same world.
There might have been some rumors about, you know, where...
No, they're not, because it's the studios that are not going to mix. But... It's just like, okay, so the only humans that show that were the people, the cabinet members and the military and the little hitter. That's it. You don't see humans dying. So the stakes is like, okay, all this destruction and they don't really focus on that. It's like, okay, why are they saving this planet to begin with? And it'd be nice to kind of tie that in. That's, oh, we're trying to save humanity and all that. That's just part of what they're trying to do because they show a lot of destruction. And even, I think they're in Egypt where they fight, they literally wipe out Cairo and you see no human casualties at all. And it's like, not even dead bodies around, nothing. And they're fighting all through the city with the rubble of it. And so I had a problem with that. And because of Angel and Psylocke were just like, whatever, you didn't give a shit about them anyway. So it kind of lost something there towards the end. It didn't feel like it was in the epic ending it should have had and what it was building up towards. I love the fact that they had Phoenix or did.
Yeah, when they said no fear and they said, you know, like go at it. And, unleash your full potential, which is kind of like what Apocalypse is trying to do with all of them.
Yeah.
You know, like Xavier seems to always like hold everybody back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Apocalypse was like, nah, you only hit the beginning. You
exactly.
know, like let it all out, let it loose. Yeah. Let go. And then that's when she went all out.
Yeah, Jean Grey,
like,
of course. Yeah.
Apocalypse is like...
And it was awesome. Like, and it was cool. It was like, oh, shit, Phoenix. And, you know, that was awesome.
I mean, he was like melted away like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like the face.
Like, I mean, it's defense. Yeah, Magneto was throwing shit at him and then Scott Summers throwing shit at him. But it was really cool to see that. That was a big surprise. They kind of just kind of threw that in there. And I'm figuring they're going to go back to the Phoenix storyline and do it right on like what they did in Last Stand.
Yeah.
Eventually, because that's
hopefully.
One of the best storylines in the comics. Anybody knows the Dark Phoenix saga. They just kind of laid the egg and the foundation for that.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. I'm glad that they did.
It was cool. And it looked great. She had the whole like fire of the wing. You know, it looked like a phoenix, but it had the shape or something like that. Very cool. I was surprised that, okay, I didn't see this coming this quick because she seemed kind of young and still trying to learn her abilities and
right.
all
that. So, the potential.
Exactly. And I liked her. She was really good at doing that role.
The actress,
was,
yeah.
Yeah. I figured her name, Sansa Stark. Who the hell am I kidding here? I kind of want to see Jon Snow in there. She'd wipe his ass out. But like I said, overall, it was really good. It has some good humor in it. You know, so good moments of levity. But at the end of the day, I think for me, it did fall short of being a great movie, particularly since we came off
Her name
Superboy.
Is Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner. I knew a stupid name. That sounds a fucking Stark. But it was, again, coming off Civil War. I guess movie would have come out after Batman v Superman. Oh, man, you know.
Right? But, yeah, but after coming off Civil War, yeah, it kind of, Civil War was so high exactly. up there that this one, maybe that's why they delayed it, because they didn't want to mess with the whole repercussion of it. I mean, coming up so close.
They always take a couple weeks because, yeah, you don't want to go against that movie.
No, you couldn't go against that juggernaut now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you want to make money. That's the whole point. You know, that's what they do. And this movie's gonna make money.
It's gonna make money.
Yeah, it's gonna make money. It's good enough to where it's gonna make money. I think it'll do better than as far as the and like after the opening weekend. It's gonna probably last longer than Batman v Superman because I think it's gonna get better.
But I think
it's better reviewed anyway. but the fans will like it more.
But I think that you can see where they got the 50%. Like, you know, like overall, like we're entertained. But like as we've been talking about it, the whole thing, we've been picking it apart. And you can see how the bar, if a lot of people were like blown away, yeah, you know, it's not as good as you thought it was going to be.
Not,
going
it's not
into.
A great movie. Like, oh, dude.
But it's entertaining.
No, like, it is.
If you win, yeah. you would have a good time.
Of course. And if you're a fan, it's going to give you all the Easter eggs. What does X-Men do? Give
and
the
it
cool
appeals.
Characters.
It yeah, appeals exactly, to the exactly. community and to the fandom.
Yeah, but, agreed. Yeah, but I think
but you can see the potential,
and we touched base on that when the whole Batman v Superman thing. That you know, we got, always got to talk about Mike, but Mike's here in spirit apparently, where he talked about how the rating system just is off. Yeah, 40% makes it seem like it's a bad movie, and it's not.
No, I would have given it like 60-something, 70. Yeah, maybe
I'd have been 60s. I would have been okay with that.
65-70%. I would have given it
exactly. But again, it is, and I haven't, like I said, I haven't looked deep into reviews. Just a couple here and there, and. Whatever, some people just hated it. Whatever, yeah. And this critics again. This kind of movie, you have to take it for what it is. It's a comic book movie. You're not going to say, and this isn't Citizen Kane we're looking at, which might be sure most critics that look at it all kind of unilaterally. What like okay, just judging it as a movie, as opposed to judging it as a comic book movie or judging a movie on a comedy. For me, I say it all the time. A comedy could be the stupidest movie, the dumbest plot, but if you laugh, it's good. It's the point of a comedy, make you laugh. If it's a scary movie, it could be dumb, a stupid premise, holes everywhere. But if you're scared, successful.
It achieved what it was trying to do.
Exactly. And like I said, if it has a great story, then it becomes a great movie as opposed to just a great horror movie or a great comedy or a great superhero movie, whatever.
So this is like the expectation. If you're going to, like basically, if you want to go see it to be entertained, you are going to be entertained.
Yes, you can get your money's worth.
You're going to get your money's
absolutely,
worth.
Absolutely,
yeah. But if you're going in like thinking about, oh, am I going to go like Civil War or am I going to go to the, is it to the level of Civil War? No.
No.
Is it to the level of Days of Future Past or the other ones?
No. Absolutely not. So, but it's still good.
It's still entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. You guys enjoy it. So let us know. We want to hear your comments. I'm curious to see what you guys thought about and all that. As far as if you guys agree with us, so if you guys hated the movie, if you guys loved it. Again, with movies, everything's divisive. That's one thing I've learned recently is just, people's opinions. Everybody got one. Not everyone's going to agree.
Yeah, and then it was funny because without these three guys, you know, without Fabian, Ike, or Isaac, or Anthony, we wouldn't even be able to bring this to you guys. You know, so aside from the fight, you know, that we went through. You know,
it's funny because I think when I Georgie got there late, obviously, but I got there early, thinking I was I'm gonna get there early. I got like the pre's usually the screen's at 7:30. I usually get there at 6:30, 6 o'clock, 15.
Right, you got there at 5.
I got there at 5 because Neighbors 2 was jam packed at the location that we went to, and I got there 5 o'clock thinking I'm good. I'm gonna hang out, play my phone, you know, little Angry Birds or whatever, you know. But it was the bubble. The soda pop one, what a stupid games. Either way.
Yeah.
But the line was tremendous when I got there. We ran into those guys, you know, obviously Isaac and
Fabian and Anthony.
And all that. Yeah. And, you know, I bribed them. I saw them there and I was like, dude, I'll give you $20. Let me cut in line. Because they were like maybe, they're right near front of the line, maybe 7-8 people ahead of them only. And the line, and this line was huge. So I hey, give me $20. Let me sneak in. And they did.
We wanted to we told them, hey, we'll give you a shout out, we'll give you a mention,
exactly. I appreciated it, and thanks to them, we were able to see the movie early and all that, which was great. You know, it wasn't free, but it's all good. I like to get them early because we want to get these reviews out, and that's part of what we do. So it was cool, and they're really cool guys, and we talk movies all the time.
Fabian actually went to Cole Park.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that. That's all high school. They didn't know that. Yeah, so cool people, and they went on the website, and they liked us and all that, so we appreciate that, and we thank them again for allowing us to kind of giving us the opportunity to see them way early and all that. So thanks again to the fellas out there. But that's all the time we got. So again, don't forget to comment below. We're going to have, of course, episode 18 upcoming in a couple of days.
In a couple of days.
Yeah, look out for that. So we appreciate, again, always go in there.
Yeah, like us, Mike, on Facebook. You know, Big Sexy, the man beast
the
himself.
The man beast, you know. We love you, Mike. You know, he's our apocalypse, you know.
yeah, for sure. He's like 6'7", you know, like 300.
Yeah, for real. He's well, I don't want to say the blob. That's kind of insulting.
No, he's apocalypse.
He's like a colossus.
Yeah, he would be colossus.
We love you, Mike. By the way, guys, George, before we take off, I'm going to plug anything real quick.
No, I mean, just, you know, keep on listening to us, you know, keep on with iTunes and, you know, where we're at, where iTunes, Podbeam, you know, Pocket Cast, you know, follow us on our Facebook page. And leave a comment if you liked us, or if you, you know, what you thought about the show, or if you agree or disagree with the movie. You know, man, these guys are crazy. The movie was great. Or, you know, these guys already know what they're talking about. Let us know. Let us know what you feel.
Well, honestly, the doctor didn't like it. We're crazy anyway. So that's irrelevant. But yeah.
But let us know what you feel and, you know, what you thought, and comment below. You know, subscribe and do all that stuff below.
Of course. So we'll see you guys pretty soon. Don't forget to go on YouTube and catch my reviews. We got next week we'll have Now You See Me 2. Not too excited, but whatever. So catch what I have to say on it, and I save yourself $12, $15, whatever the price of movies are these days, in case it's garbage, which I think it's going to be. Either way, guys, we'll see you next time. Take care.